up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back to the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Live long and prosper, brother.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you just lost us, like, all of our audience. So, next, I'm actually going to bring our producer, Gina, to talk about Star Wars. Gina, glad to see you this evening.
I am so excited to be here. And you just pulled a Will Wheaton up there.
Sure did. Sure did.
And, you know, because, you know, anyway, we'll get into the lizard Spock later. So, next, we've got Peter. Pete, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Sagrona, everybody.
Nice. Hi, Sharona. I'm on a roll today.
Save me. Please save me.
It's Star Wars.
Oh, boy.
Steve, how long you got left in school? Your school?
I have 6 weeks.
Oh, yuck.
21 days. 21 days.
I have 3 weeks.
21 days.
Lucky yo.
I have 4 years.
Yeah.
I actually have 10 and a half years. Yeah, that's about right. So
I have 10 years.
Anyway, guys, if you've not already, please like, subscribe, share, especially if you're into Star Wars, because that's what we got coming up. So we are diving deep into Andor season 2. We have watched episodes 1 through 3 this week. And it is before Battle of Yavin 4 years. So it is not a droid. BBY is not a droid. It is before the Battle of Yavin, which is the first Death Star blow up, is the Battle of Yavin. So this takes place.
And what episode does that happen in?
That takes in Star Wars Episode 4, which
is the original movie.
Original.
Yes, that was now known as A New Hope.
Yes.
Okay.
So in this, we see Andor, who is, of course, our main character-ish in this one, because I would argue this could be, you know, Andor the Mon Mothma story. But Andor is trying to get a stolen TIE fighter to a person on what ends up being Yavin 4. She is no longer there, and they have Lord of the Flies going on with the idiots from some of my classrooms past. In charge.
100%.
And so he ends up getting out of there and taking it and to rescue the farmer people, which I cannot ever remember her name.
Bix.
Okay. They are on some random planet.
In the Outer Rim.
In the Outer Rim, hiding out by fixing farm equipment. So they're
illegal immigrants, let's point out.
They're illegal immigrants working on farm equipment to get food for the Empire. And they're told that they aren't wanted anymore. Yeah, we can get into how heavy-handed.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's just say there are some very non-subtle cues on how the people who run this feel about the current administration. And that is all I'm going to say.
I'm not saying a word. Okay.
And then your third sub point is Mon Mothma. If you remember at the end of season 1, she had basically agreed to let her daughter marry the son of a gangster mobster because he's going to get her money for the rebellion. Well, the first 3 episodes are that wedding and all about how she has some regrets about doing it to her daughter. And her daughter turns it around and is not exactly nice to her. And the gray-haired gentleman, and again, you guys know me in names, who was her best friend growing up.
Tay is his name, right?
Tay. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Is having serious doubts about the rebellion and is basically wanting more money.
Well, he has made some bad moves, and he's also lost his wife, and he's in debt. So yeah. I think he's blaming her, basically.
And, yeah. And then we have the Stellan Skarsgård character, who is still very much pro-rebellion. I will do whatever I can. They have all been waiting to hear from Cassian about the TIE fighter, whether he actually stole it and delivered it or not. Then at the end, we have at the end of the wedding, basically her best friend, we see him get into a car with the assassin from the first scene, from the first season. And they drive/fly off together with the implication that he's a dead man because of what he is trying to do to sabotage the rebellion.
Right.
And that is where we end. Yeah. So
you missed Deirdre and her.
His name's Sylan, I think, or Siler, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. But anyway.
At the end of the first season, she had kind of screwed things up on Ferrix, hadn't caught Cassian.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But she still survived it. And she was pulled in with her boss to a meeting with Krennic, who is eventually the overseer of the Death Star. He's the main villain in Rogue One.
He is trying to be head of the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, he's trying to be head of the whole.
He's trying to be Grand Moff
Tarkin. Moff Tarkin.
Yeah. He's right. Trying to be him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so she meets with him, and he knows that she's a smart one. And so he like bugs her for ideas. And then on top of that, the weird guy that like was following her around in the first season and then saved her life at the end is in a relationship with her. And she like dismantles his mom. If you remember his mom from the first,
that was great.
And so that's the other, probably the smallest part of all this, but they bring those characters in as well. So we kind of get all the characters from the first season with stories here.
And then Krennic he's old, but he's from Rogue One.
Right.
So I'm going to start with this one. And honestly, I'm going to start next door to me.
That's me.
That is you. Kate, has this grabbed your interest yet?
Okay. So as the resident confused Kathy on this show, we were talking a little bit about this before the show, that for some reason, Star Wars shows, while they are very good, well acted, well shot, I just always get really confused. This is not a show that I should watch by myself. This is a show that I should be like messaging or talking to someone else, because I miss so much subtext. And for some reason, just
text.
I'm sorry.
You don't always miss just subtext. You sometimes miss the text.
Yeah, I don't know why I struggle so hard with. However, this has grabbed my attention. I am very, nope, that's a different question. I'll answer that later. I was very confused, especially when I watched the most intense game of Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock that I've ever watched. And then like this random like dinosaur comes out of nowhere.
I love that guy. The rhino.
Rhino. Yeah.
Love. Yeah. That. And then this rhino just comes and eats people. And I'm like,
love it.
When did we jump to Jurassic Park? Like what is happening? So there are a couple storylines that I am very intrigued by, but I'll get to that later. Tentatively, yes, this is, I remember why I ranked this a 3 or 3.5. I ranked it either a 3 or 3.5. Yeah. So, yeah. Steve, what about you, Gina?
Oh, no, right. No, Gina and no. Pete, Gina and Pete, I'm not even asking. I know what's grabbed their attention.
I hated it.
You. Yes. I gave it a 4.5 for the first season. And by the end of the third episode, it's definitely caught my attention again. To the point of my other half has forbidden me from watching it before we could sit down together. Oh, and it's been driving me crazy because it's like...
Hey. It just dropped today, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I finished it last night. And that was a hard, like I want to watch. So it's definitely, by the end of the third episode, I'm all in. I'm ready to go. So I'm excited to talk about some of our questions coming up. So,
and I would say for me, I'm not super invested yet. I really wasn't invested after the first two episodes. The episode three stuff actually started happening that kind of moved some plot along. I want to watch more of it. I'm not a, oh my gosh, I'm going to watch it, you know, the moment we get off of here. Because guys, we get off of, those of you aren't sure, we put these out on Thursdays, but we take Tuesdays right as the new episodes are being dropped. So I'm not going to go watch the next three episodes yet tonight.
Neither.
Yeah. But the only show I've ever done that for as it's been released was honestly WandaVision.
Same.
No.
And Mandalorian.
Was WandaVision.
For me, it was Mandalorian.
Next question, and he kind of brought this up, so I'm going to let him take the lead on this. Does this suffer from only human main characters so far in this show?
And what I'm trying to say there is, like, Star Wars has always had creatures from all over the galaxy, right? Whether they're Jedi or just side characters. You got
Twi'leks? There's not a Twi'lek? I know.
Right. Sorry. And it's very interesting to me. The first season, there were very few aliens. There were a couple that showed up here and there. Here, literally, there were no intelligent aliens.
There was one or two at the wedding.
There was like one Ugnaught. Oh, you're right. I saw.
There were a couple at the wedding, kind of in the background.
One Ugnaught.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and I saw some online comments that were like, well, this isn't very Star Wars because it's all humans. And I was wondering if other people felt like it didn't feel like Star Wars because of that. Now, I want to point out the Empire has always been very human. And the reason they do that is they want the Empire to appear extremely racist and only believe in humans, right? So the Empire, basically, if you're not a human being, then you're not worthy of us even considering you. But typically, the good guys are, a mix of aliens, right? And it is interesting to me that they chose not to, as Gina just said, not even a Twi'lek or something. I mean, there are very human-like creatures in Star Wars. You didn't need to have a Wookiee going. Right.
Yeah.
So does this make it feel like something's missing when you're watching Star Wars with only human characters?
All right, Derek, go.
What's a Twi'lek?
Twi'lek is the one with the two, like,
and they're blue, and they have the long.
They have the long things off the back of their heads.
The reason I bring up the Twi'lek is because in Chandrila, wasn't she like the senator's daughter or something? Like, she was something in Clone Wars. She was some.
Like, oh, of high. Course, Clone Wars. Sure, yes, all 27 seasons of it. Kate, next.
Hera, if you remember Andor or not Andor, Ahsoka, the green girl Hera
with the long
things, that she was in Twi'lek.
Yeah.
Okay. Kate, next.
I was going to say, you can go to Steve if you want to go around the circle.
Whatever.
No, I could go. Question. In Rogue One, did we have other characters?
Not really. Yes. The Admiral Akbar type dude.
Okay. And we had more droids. I felt like there were more droids, at least. I only saw two droids.
Yeah, we had the
K2SO.
Yes.
Who will apparently be making an appearance in this.
eventually.
I am really curious where they take this then. Because if it's the whatever alien race who comes from the Empire is, right? It could be that race where you have two factions who have sort of have two different viewpoints in fighting. Oh. So, I mean, it's an interesting question. Like, I don't think I've been affected by it yet, since I find this story very compelling, a great, great series, great acting and stuff. I haven't necessarily missed it yet, but now it makes me want to go back and watch with a different eye.
Well, and even does it make it better because it makes the characters more relatable by not having, you know,
interesting,
a walking carpet or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could go the other way, right? It could be like, this is a better show because all the characters are human and we can relate to more of the characters.
Well, I think in that way, if they're all the same thing, it's one group really having this difference of opinion instead of here you have this one race who thinks this, one race thinks this, alien species, and they're arguing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, For me, I don't mind whether there are alien races. Okay, I guess technically everybody's an alien if you're not on your home planet.
Right.
But non-human.
Non-humanoid, whatever we want to call it. Yeah.
Right. Yes. There are different species. I don't care if they're different species or not, as long as it's not distracting. Like, and for me, practical effect, different species are not nearly as distracting as CGI different species.
100%. I agree there too.
And I'm hoping that if they do pull in other species, that it's like we saw in Ahsoka and it's like we see in Mandalorian and other things, where it's 98% practical effects. I think that's one reason that the little blue dude in the kids show bothered me so much.
The elephant.
There were multiple reasons he bothered me, but it was him.
I loved him.
Neil.
He was so distressed.
And Steve remembers his name.
Well, they actually gave him a human name, unlike Bix.
Yes, named after a petroleum product.
Wait, hold on. I didn't get to answer.
I was just
it's passing over.
Neither did Gina, so it's getting.
And then
you.
I'm going to answer also. Go ahead.
I actually like it. It makes it more relatable to me. I think that you can see the human condition in it, and you can see, like, especially when Mon Mothma. I don't know why I always feel like I'm gonna Mothma. That's the one.
Yeah, think like Mothman.
Yeah,
that's good.
I do Mothra and then put Mothma.
Yeah. Especially like you could just see the pain and her trying to mask the pain and the worry and the fear in her face at the wedding. It just was very relatable. It's very relatable for them to be human and not be cyborgs or not be Kree. I'm going to name all different species from other.
That's fine.
Where like they have telepathy or they can do things. Like, no, it felt very, I could resonate with it as a human. I have felt those, not exactly those emotions that she felt at the wedding, but I could relate to it. Gina, what do you think?
I don't think the show suffers, but I do notice. There's not one other. There's like very few in the background. There's only two droids. I counted two droids in the whole thing. I would just like to see a little bit more kinetic energy, I guess, for a Star Wars film. And like I read, one of the reviews said, this is a great sci-fi, but is it Star Wars without having the aliens from the non-humans and the droids? That was all. So it doesn't suffer. No, the answer is no.
But I think it's still Star Wars because it's anytime you get the Empire against the
the rebels,
the little guy,
the low guys. Yeah,
that feels like Star Wars, you know.
But there's more. Yeah, there's more than just those planets, and those planets have other races on them, and just need to show different.
And if you think about the original movie, other than Chewbacca, was there any aliens in the original movie? I mean, had all the aliens in the cantina.
You had the Jawas. You had all the Jawas. You had the sand people.
Yeah,
and you had the droids.
There were.
And you had the droids. So
yeah, That's true. Okay, never mind. I take that back.
Yeah. So that's all. And it doesn't, it's not suffering. The answer is no, it's not suffering. But I noticed.
Okay. That's fair. So next, and we talked about all the different story arcs in this. We talked about all the different
Okay, he's
did we just lose?
He's not
so here. Exactly. Oh, okay. I was about to take over.
Good, I would ask, which of those story arcs do you want? Let's start with which one do you want to see more of? And Steve, I'll start with you.
I actually have two. I can't really decide. It's Mon Mothma and Deedra and Cyrell. I find that one so fascinating. Like the dinner with the mother.
So good.
It was that.
I agree.
We were talking about that before where he just goes, I'm out, I'm going to go lay down. And Deedra lays into the mother-in-law. I guess,
brilliant.
Like, really appreciate how good of an actress, I guess how she, like, really steals the scene. Like, you're drawn to her. Like, this short little, like, I'm in charge, here I come. So those two storylines I find very fascinating. So, I mean, especially when you realize that they were together or whatever's going on with them. It was like what? So.
And for me, the main one I want to follow is truly Cassian. And to a lesser extent, is it Luther?
Luthen.
Luthen. Yeah.
Whatever.
Stellan Skarsgård. Yes.
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 That, the dynamic of those are the two that are, especially rebellion or not, it's rebellion or nothing for them. And they're not really even. Andor's not shy about it at all. And Luthen, everything he does is, there's always that he will sacrifice anything he can and change any other thing as long as he's helping the rebellion. If we're going to dive into, if this leads then into Rogue One, that needs to be, if Rogue One is your goal, why should I care about the other plots that lead us into Rogue One? Is my if I got to watch this for
I get it.
Hours. Why should I care? Kate?
Mon Mothma. I love the, first of all, that actress is so good. Like she is so good at staying quite stoic. But also
she's the daughter of the gal in the original movie, right?
No, she's not.
No, yeah, okay. I looked it up.
I'm not gonna lie, I thought she was Glenn Close for like a solid amount of time. So it's fine. But this actress is so good with being able to stay quite stoic and then but then show just a hint of emotion and have it read so well. And I like that kind of undercover. No one really knows that I'm actually helping the rebellion. And I like that. I like her storyline. I am, that's the one I'm kind of itching more for. Gina?
So for me, the more is obviously Cassian Andor. I need to see more of him. He was barely in this episode. He did a couple, you know, he was the taking the prisoner and he was like sitting there drinking the water. And I was like, come on, dude, what's going on? So, and then, you know, you guys failed me, whatever. You told me the wrong location or I forget what he said, but he said something like that. And then Mon Mothma, I do love her storyline. I do like the class. I do like that the upper class trying to, like, she's sneaking through the upper class, even though she's got this rebellion thing going on. So those two, but Andor, Cassian, for sure. Cassian Andor. All right, Pete.
This is tough because I'm interested in most of it. To me, the weakest of this all was Cassian's story. The detour on the planet, unless there's some big picture thing we're not going to find out about for a while, to me was just kind of like, okay, this is kind of dumb. And, you know, it's just a way to delay him there to give the story of his friends on the farming planet.
Time to die.
Time to be in, to get into trouble. So I want more of like how Cassian you know, becomes more of a leader in that, that he is by the time we get to Rogue One. But I'm kind of with Steve on like Deirdre and Cyril, because like they're both villains, I suppose. But Deirdre like will
definitely be a villain.
I think he's just following orders. I think they're just following orders. I don't think either of them are villains.
No, I mean Deirdre clearly knows.
Oh, yeah. Go launch the massacre.
No. Yeah.
She knows what's going on, and she's fine with all of it. She's definitely a villain.
Oh, she is. I don't think
he's more of a. I believe in law and order, and I'm going to do things for law and order. So I don't know if he's as bad as she is, but even so, I wonder if they're going to do a redemption with them, or is she genuinely just going to be?
She's. Like, and
I don't know. That's why I want to see more of that, because I want to see where they're going to go, because. For how nasty she is. It's such an interesting character that I
find her very calculating. Like, she wants nothing to do with the Gorman because it's not going to get her where she wants to be.
Right.
Right. Yeah, she's like, nope, don't want any part of that. Someone's going to get a downfall. Yeah. I want some. Yeah.
Cyril was the one I could see having the redemption arc.
Me too.
Yes.
I can see him having some sort of, okay. And by redemption arc, I mean, switching over to the rebellion at some point.
He's just not going to follow orders anymore. Right. The orders will be too much.
It will make it too bad for him.
Yeah.
Her is, I don't necessarily want to see a redemption arc on. Okay. Let's go around real quick, Dan. Which one do you really not? Oh, sorry, Pete, were you not finished?
I just want another thing. I want to see something go well for Bix, because.
I know. Because
she had the worst experience of the first season, and
why do men?
Because and I don't think we need to talk about necessarily what happened happened to her in this episode, but it's terrible, and you know it kind of like shook me a little, because it's not something Star Wars usually shows, but like I'm like. Why do the writers keep making awful things happen to her? You know, so I'm hoping if anybody gets a happy ending, I'm hoping somehow she gets a happy ending. I'm not expecting it.
But I don't think she does, only because I never see her again after anything. No. Sorry.
Well, we should point out, she's not in Rogue One. No one none of the characters in this are in Rogue One, except for Cassian, Krennic, and Mon Mothma. So all the other characters are not in Rogue One. That doesn't necessarily mean they all die between now and then, but
doesn't like everybody die in Rogue One?
Yes.
In Rogue One does,
this
yes.
This is a really uplifting, happy story.
Mon Mothma's the only one who doesn't die. Yeah.
Really.
But she's not in Rogue One. Anyway.
But that doesn't mean everybody in this show dies.
True. We don't know.
No. Yeah. True. Okay. Real quick, who don't you want it to focus on? Steve?
Actually, no one. I think they're all interested. I'm curious how they're going to intertwine. I have ones I enjoy more, but it's really fascinating. Like, where are they going to go? Yes. Okay. I don't need to see the rock, paper, scissor dudes ever again.
Ah, you took mine.
You can say it. The Yavin 4 is, I declared them.
You can still say it.
For me, I don't need to see. I don't care if we see the couple. And again, you guys know me in names.
Cyril,
Deirdre, and Cyril.
Cyril, yeah.
Deirdre.
If we still see them, fine. But show them doing something. And that's the same thing with me and Mon Mothma. I'm over the wedding and the money. Issues. That's all she was first season. That's all she's been so far this season. Show me her actually doing something, or don't show her to me.
That's fair. I will say, though, and I think I said this either earlier or before we started filming, that the part that made me laugh out loud was when, what's his name? Cyril? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Cyril,
yes.
When Cyril was like, I'll be right back. And then it just shoots to him just like laying like a limp dog on the bed. and I have never felt so seen. So miss me with all of the...
Sorry, I love my mother-in-law. Everyone loves your mother-in-law.
Miss me with all of the idiot rebels shooting at each other when they're very clearly on the same side and playing the craziest version of Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock that I've ever seen. Miss me with all of that. Like, it was so dumb. And just like, I believe that is actually when I started messaging the group chat and was like, someone tell me what the heck is going on, because I just watched the weirdest game of Rock, Paper, Scissors I've ever seen. So I'm fine if I don't see any more of that.
I agree with that. And I also need to see less of Mon Mothma's daughter. I didn't like care for any of the wedding. I didn't care for the daughter switching. I didn't like her attitude. I'm over her.
And if the husband's actually going to betray her,
hurry up and do it.
Come up there.
Yeah. Hurry up and do it. I agree with that. All right, Pete.
I got to say, I mean, I agree with, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm agreeing with Derek. But yeah, I mean, let's call it palace intrigue. We don't need any more. We've gotten, 15 episodes of palace intrigue with Mon Mothma. Let's see her become the leader of the rebellion that she's going to become. I think that I would really like that more, and stop enough of her husband and her daughter and all that kind of stuff. Let's focus on the main thing.
And keep her husband.
Unless
more Stellan Skarsgård too. So
yeah. So you
unless
there?
The daughter becomes like really, really into the Empire, and then she has to like choose between her daughter and the rebellion.
And we know what she's going to choose. I don't want him to do that.
I don't care. I don't care about the daughter anymore. I'm like, I'm over you. And I think she's over her daughter too. After she said that, I wish you were drunk. Comment.
Which she gave her a wish though.
Yeah, she's not drunk.
She did.
Right.
Okay, moving on.
Okay. What plot questions do you need to answer on the buddy show? Not what did you not understand, but what do you need to know how between now? What do you need to know of what happens between now and Rogue One?
I will just say,
go.
I have nothing to add to this because okay. I'm just confused.
And I have too much, but I'm just going to focus on the one thing, which is the character K2SO. When is he coming on? Because that's what I really want to see.
See, and I'm going to talk about the other droid. I want to know what happens to BMO. I mean, the poor droid, like, he's got such a, like...
And then he gets done. Left the planet.
It seemed like he did, right?
Yeah.
I think he's done.
He's got this complex of like everybody leaves him and everything like that. I just feel so bad for BMO. So
I
need
again?
To know where he ends up, that he finally ends up with, you know, happy with some, you know, maybe he finds a C-3PO like sidekick character that he can hang out with. I don't know.
I think he's decommissioned. Sorry.
Oh, because yeah, Brazo left him with the one woman. So basically he's now you're with her.
Right.
You know, sort of like, that was your story. Yeah. Goodbye. So
I hope not, though. Poor BMO. He'll spend every night looking up at the sky waiting for Cassian. Cassian.
She's going to decommission him.
He needs a new toaster.
This is just the happiest show we've ever watched. If you're really looking for a lighthearted show that's going to make you really believe in good in the world, this is definitely this. The show you need to pick, everyone.
Along with Daredevil and Secret Invasion.
Yeah. Add Punisher in there and you've just got yourself a good old time.
If you want happy-go-lucky Star Wars, go back to Skeleton Crew.
There you go.
Steve, did you say him?
Mine would be, I want Deidre's storyline to be full complete. I hope they don't cut back on that, because I find her, even the first season, I found her fascinating. So I hope they do a nice wrap up, whatever. She goes completely evil. She gets taken out. What is it going to be? So.
Yeah, I think these people that they have made me invest my time in finish their story. Because we know how Andor's story is going to end. We know how Mon Mothma's story is going to end. Finish your stories. don't make me go into a, all of a sudden they're going to shoot a live action for between battle after, you know, the after the Battle of Yavin, but before Empire Strikes Back, and to put a live action series in there. It, no. Uh-uh. Finish things up. Well, no, yeah,
it's called Rebels.
But just,
none of these characters are on Rebels either, except for Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Kate, what do we have for Disney Plus news this week?
Oh, let me scroll down.
We do have it. And we also have a mute button. So you're still muted.
Sorry. Okay. We do have one. In the Has This Ever Gone Well category, Disney will be debuting the Star Wars Tales of the Underground shorts on May 2nd on the game Fortnite. They will be shown on a yet-to-be-determined island in the game.
Uh-huh.
Raise your hand on this platform if you play Fortnite. Excellent.
So, yeah, they announced that today, and I'm going... Yeah, I have never known anything that has actually debuted on Fortnite to go well.
My daughter is 22 and she's too old to play Fortnite.
My students play, but they're too young for Star Wars Underworld. They don't know who Cad Bane is.
Yeah.
I don't even know who Cad Bane is.
He's the blue gangster, dirty, hairy dude.
He was in...
Oh, he was cool.
He was in Boba Fett. Anyway.
Yeah. See, I'm sad because if you remember correctly... Casey and I were going to watch all of Star Wars, but we got lost in Clone Wars.
Clone Wars.
It was.
Which is bound to happen.
We just couldn't. We couldn't rebound. So.
All right. Next week, we have episodes 4 through 6 of this. Yes. This is going to be 3 years before the Battle of Yavin.
So we're skipping ahead a year from these events.
Every minute plot point from this will not get answered.
Great. That's going to really help my confusion. This is going to make it all okay. So
it's all going to have to, which tells me episode 4 is basically going to be a recap of the last year.
Like,
they're going to have to at least explain
some
what
stuff.
Has happened the last year. Yeah. Some stuff. They're going to have to explain that silverhead haired dude got killed. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So.
You don't want to know. I'm telling you.
So, but that's what's coming up. We're doing episodes 4 through 6. If you have suggestions on what we should watch after this, because I know some of Kate's suggestions are going to be anything but Star Wars. Actually, now, I will say, Kate, we are going to actually watch Rogue One. Have you seen Rogue One?
Yes,
I have. It was roughly around when it came out. Okay. And I also believe I was quite confused then, except for the last like 3 minutes of the movie.
Yes, exactly.
And he's Leia.
and Darth Vader.
You'll probably be less confused this time.
Yeah, because you'll know who Cassian Andor is.
So anyway, that will be coming up. But if you have other things you'd like us to watch, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We have new episodes that come out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Gina, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
May the Force be with you.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.